Blog Talk Radio.
Save you before, run up the wicked.
Hallelujah. Welcome once again to the Bleak Culture. I'm your brother, Ariel. And if y'all can hear me well, give me a text. Shoot me a text or something. Let me know that I'm sounding good. Somebody, if you can. If not, the show will go on. And thank Yahweh, Abiyah, for once again giving me his guidance and his Torah. And it is kind of funny because it went in a whole nother direction when I first sat down. Toda, Baba Mariel said I sound good. Toda. And I guess if you just listen to Abba and not try to fight it and just go with it, even if when you sit back as a teacher, you're like, hold up, Abba, that ain't going with what I had planned. That ain't going with the lesson that I sat down and talked about. But it goes along with what was talked about earlier in the text that was being sent out. First, I believe, by Sister Teshubia, Rabbi sent out a text, and a couple other people sent out a text, I believe. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go build connects with restoring Yisrael. So Abba is able to do that. He is able to take it this way and that way and still talk about the exact same thing. Because as I was sitting there and listening to it, we're going to pick back up where we stopped last week. And we're going to get into and just give a review of what we went through last week. But I'm going to go the way Abba say go. And then that's going to be that in a nutshell. But with the title of Restoring Yisrael and where my mindset is, look at Yisrael out there today, where my mindset was, but look at Yisrael out there today and how did we get like this as a people? What happened to us as a people? You know, if you know and understand who is Yisrael, who is Israel out there today, and you might feel the same way I feel. But what Abba was saying to me today, hey, is not just looking at the Israel that's out there, but also looking at the Israel that's inside of you. Because you are still being restored to Yisrael. And in Yisrael, we want to understand the ways of Abba. Because that's what he gave Israel. He gave Israel his ways. He gave Israel his character. And we understand and know why Hasatan fights against that so much. That character, that reputation, you know, that name, Shem. And today he was like, look within. Israel. Look within, not those who just out there who are quote-unquote lost Israel, but even those who are quote-unquote supposed to be awakened Israel. You know, we still have our struggles, we still have our ups and downs, and we still have our character defects. I'm going to put it that way. We have our character defects, whereas though malice, envy, and strife, and anger, and all these things come within, even lustful thinking comes and it still is a part of that old man, which we are restoring Yisrael and understand who we are restoring Yisrael to. And we can sum it up in one name, Yahusha. That's it, period. It. But you know, for us to get there, Abba always got to take us on a journey so we can get to that mark, you know, so we can come to the end of the law. Because the scripture says Yahusha is the end of the law, and not how the world have took it and twisted and turned it upside downwards. Whereas though Yahushua, if you got him, you don't need the law no more. No. If you are striving to become like Yahushua, and once you get to the end part of being like doing the Torah, keeping the Torah, keeping the law, then you will become Yahushua. Then you'll be at the end of the law. And you know and understand that that's a lifetime. That's a lifetime journey. But as I said and was putting the lesson together and what I had all week long, I'm like, oh, the Bible, that don't connect to what my mind was thinking all week long. You're right. Because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, Ariel. So I had to sit back and say, okay, Abba, you are the king. You are the lawgiver and you the judge, and I'm going to follow. So, Shema, Yisrael, Shema. Well, let me open up with a scripture, as usual. I just, hallelujah. Toda Abba Yah, once again, for being our king, being our lawgiver, and being our judge. We thank you, Father, for your guidance. We thank you for your whispers in our ears, Father, for your constantly trying to perfect this flesh for us. Not this flesh, but that inner man, Father. We thank you for that, Father. For we, as fleshly beings, you know the fight because you've been in this flesh, Father. You had to come down and see how do this flesh affect man. When I say man, mankind. So we thank you for that, Father, for coming down and observing what your creation goes through, Father, and giving us a way out, showing us a straight and narrow path so we can get of this flesh, we can put on immortal bodies, Father. We thank you for that, Father. Father, we ask that for all those that are listening, Father, that your word as a mighty and powerful thunder, Father, reach to the depths, deep down, Father, where that seed need to go, and may it take root and grow, Father. May you choke up the weeds, choke out the weeds, Father, that have been growing there for years, Father. For each and every one of us, Father, may your word do that for us, Father. So we can be presented as a spotless bride, Father. In Yahushua, holy and precious name, I pray and ask this. Amen. Well, we're going to get into it. We're going to do a little preview of what we did last week, family. And what we talked about last week was we went through the 13th Amendment and how the 13th Amendment was set up for Israel. I mean, not for Israel, for the free slaves. So people wasn't just going to snatch them off the street and they had something to do, I'm paraphrasing. But in that 13th Amendment, they put a hook in there. They put a clause in there saying that if you were locked up, if you was under the black codes, these black codes, matter of fact, we're going to read about the black codes today because I said it last week, we're going to read about the black codes. If you was caught doing anything negates your freedom or negates the 13th Amendment, yes, you can become locked up and you can lose your freedom. So we went through that. And then we went through this letter called The Secret That Destroyed a Generation. A Secret That Destroyed a Generation. We read this where these label owners and executives of the label owners had this meeting. The meeting went how private prison was being on the uprise, I'm going to say, back in the 80s. Men were able to buy in shares to private prisons. So what they came up with, what the scheme was, if we can get a certain demographic or a certain population of the people to go in a certain way or to think in a certain way, then we can fill the prisons. And the bottom goal was to fill the prisons. In their minds, the bottom goal was to fill the prisons so they can keep making money. And how, again, they are making money off of the backs of these men and women of color. So the music industry that wasn't going in the direction that it was going in what we see today, these men came up with this plan back in the 80s. I mean, was it the 80s or back in the late 80s, early 90s, I believe. and came up with a plan how to make the music subliminal to our kids, which it always been. But what they put in the music, they, we had it for self-destruction. We got 187 on the undercover cap. You know, city, we are the world. City, I got to get mine. You get yours. The music direction changed towards us as a people because they wanted to put more in the music and city a positive thing. They wanted to put a negative on the music, whereas though we big up drugs, we big up killing and shooting one another. We big up prostitution. We, matter of fact, one boy career, what is his name? T-Pain. His every album was about a stripper. And now you got young women who wants to be strippers and glorify that. Even Cardi B, that's where she come from being a stripper. So look at the image they took of Cardi B. Of a rapper like Cardi B, look at her image. Look where how she had to portray herself on Love and Hip Hop. And they took this and you know what? We can promote that to these young girls and to these young boys out there. And we can even make more zombies out there. We can get them to look at her as somebody of a positive role model. She came from stripping. Now she a big time rapper. She getting money. And that's where the mindset is at for majority of our people. They're getting money. Regardless of what they have to do, they are getting money. So this was a plan. Known to us as a people, this was a plan to destroy a generation of people, which we talked about last week, who do not have filters. Who do not have filters. Not understanding the spirits that come with that music, that come with those lifestyles. Even the spirits at the television, they don't have a filter. If you do not know, you under attack all the time, 24/7 by Hasatan, then you are free game to him. And very few people in the world understand that they are being under attack, that they are being driven to go as cattle in a certain way. I remember coming into the congregation years ago, and Rabbi Gershon Ben Daniel was talking about a TV guy. And they said, talking about how it was called television programming. And he asked the question, who was being programmed but the viewer? The one who was watching, we may go and we, I don't know if everybody know, somebody on Amen, like, what in the world is a TV guide? But back in the day, we had TV guides. And we would open it up and it would tell us what time a certain show was coming on. It was like a little magazine. It would tell us what time a certain show was coming on. So we would set our day and plan our day accordingly. Unknown to ourselves that we would set our day accordingly around a television show. Something that was programming us on how we think. We know and understand how they moved in and made the homosexual accepted 20 to 30 years ago. Every show had a token. Before it was a token homosexual, it was a token black. But we was always the buffoon on television. We weren't the positive role model. So how Satan did what he did subliminally, unknown to the viewer, he moved in. He dropped their defenses, if they even had defenses in the first place. But even with some believers who filter is not that strong. And the only way your filter be that strong, let me tell you something now. The only way your filter be something strong, if you have to be eating that word of Yahweh. Because what you put in is what you get out. Now, you watch constantly television, but you ain't putting nothing else in there. You ain't putting the word of Yahweh in it so it can filter not just the television, the radio, but everything else in the world. Everything, it can filter that for you. Then you're easy prey. You're easy prey for Hasatan. So you have to put that word in. You have to constantly eat that word. It has to be a part of your meditation, not just on the Shabbat. Daily. And I love that I drive because it's easy for me driving. I'll put in the tape and boom. Two, 3 hours of driving, I don't even realize where I was gone because I got word in my ear. I got some word in my ear. Matter of fact, I believe that's how I learned. I used to listen to Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel every day. Every day I used to listen to him. Every day me and Maria, we would sit there like Rabbi talked about last week with his tape. We came in, we going to bring a tape. This right here, this is too good of information and knowledge for us not to take and be able to listen to during the week. The same sentiment that Rabbi Yaakov was saying about our blog talk. For us not to listen to it and go back, because we may not have heard something. And I tell you, even as a teacher, if things that said that I don't even know I said when I go back and listen, like, wow, I said that. No, actually, Abba, you said that. I didn't even realize I said that. That wasn't even on my mind. That wasn't even nowhere near for me to do. But again, we have to keep that filter. We got to keep it clean. You know, you got a vent, you got a furnace, and you every now and then you got to replace that filter, or every now and then you got to go down there and you got to clean that filter. Why? Because it got clogged up. And that's what the word of Yahweh does for us. It cleans that filter. It cleans it. But let me go to 1 Peter, family. 1 Peter. In fact, it's going to be a little bit. Before I get into the, we're going to read the black holes. I want to read this scripture in 1 Peter. Yeah, First Kappa. 1 Kappa 2, starting at verse 9, we're going 9 through 12. And remember, we are talking about restoring the restoration of Yisra'el. We are talking about that. And why we need a restoration of Yisra'el, and who is want to stop this work. Who do not want the restoration of Yisra'el to come together? Why he do not want the restoration of Yisra'el to come together? And what is he doing to keep the name of Israel blotted out? Because you know and understand who we are as a people and who he or she who has Abba Yah and his son Yahushua has no equal in this realm. And I'm talking about physical or spiritual. You have no equal. Not to say that you big your head up, because we ain't doing that. We ain't talking about that. Because you know and understand that you are servant of servant. Second Kepha 2:9, family. But ye are a chosen race. And I like how the Royal English Bible translated. But you are a chosen race. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A people for Yah's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I just love how this reads. Because the big thing today in this world, another distraction is race. Another distraction in this world today is race. And superiority of race. If there's no superior race, only one who was attached to Abba Yah. There's only one. And we read before, I forgot the scripture, where though I would say all the nations of the earth have a king, but I chose you. I'm your king, Israel. He said, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And that's what we're restoring to, Israel. We are restoring the holiness of this nation. Brick by brick, person by person, we are restoring the holiness of this nation, a chosen, a royal people. Just imagine if our people understood that they were royalty. I know and understand that Afrocentric brothers, they may claim that our Egyptology brothers, they may claim that, but can they really claim that? There's only one group of people on the face of the planet that really can claim royalty, holiness, chosen, set apart. There's only one. Nobody else can claim that. And if they're claiming it, they got it from Abba. They got it from his word. If they're claiming holiness, if they're claiming royalty. But I would say, y'all, holy, royal people. A chosen race of people. A chosen race of people. Not to exclude anybody else because the doors are open. But if you want to be chosen, you want to be holy, you want to be royal, you got to come the way that he gave Israel. You cannot come no any other way, or you are a thief and a robber. I don't care how good it sounds and how quote unquote religious you may be. Now here's the thing. And to the average person, it may sound hard, it may sound harsh, it may sound like, dang, brother, oh yeah, you're a little hard. Matter of fact, you're doing too much, as the Hoppers will say today. You're doing too much. But given her honor, Aretha Franklin, who is called the Queen of Soul, given her honor for the gifts that Abba Yah have given her. Yes, we will do that. We will give her honor for the gift, for the beautiful voice that Abba Yah has given. Tell me, Abba Yah haven't blessed her with that voice. He blessed her with that. But for all the people of yesterday, as I was listening to the talk show, calling her a woman of God, a woman that was chosen by God to do a work, and in the beginning she may well be. In the beginning she may have been. But where her life ended up, she ain't pick up that mantle. She ain't pick up and do what Abba asked her to do. No, she didn't follow them laws, statutes, and judgments, regardless of what she did outside of that. How nice she could have been. How she fed the homeless, how humble she could have been. She didn't do what he asked her to do. So, but somebody look at me like, oh, you hard, boy. How you going to say she wasn't a woman? Because the word says that. Because it does not matter what man think on the outside. It doesn't matter what he think of a person. It's only what Yah knows of a person. And if you want to know how he wants you to live, you have to go into his word and open up his word, and his word will tell you how you should live. Now, I know some women of Yah, quote unquote God. I know some women. And Aretha Franklin's life did not mirror their lives. did not mirror their lives. And I'm talking about the sisters of Bet Yahweh. I didn't want to name everybody because I might have forgot a name and somebody might have got offended. Oh, you didn't name all them sisters, didn't name it. So I said this, the sisters of Bet Yahweh, because we're talking again about restoration, not just over those people out there, but of the hearts and minds of all of us. The heart and minds of all of us. Restoring. Because we want to be like Yahushua HaMashiach. Stern when we have to be. Because he wasn't a champ. But he was stern when he had to be. And he was loving always. Even in the sternness was love. He was loving always. Second Kephler 2:10 family. Who in times past was no people, but now a Yah who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as foreigners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And I tell you again, I don't know why Abba Paul sent me this way. I don't know why that when I look back at the lesson as I wrote it down, it looked like the text that was sent out earlier. But I'm going to follow his lead, and it's for me too. I don't think that the teachers are exempt from the word of Yahweh because they are not. That's the beauty of Yahweh. He ain't like none of these others. Matter of fact, he would tell that teacher, you put your business out there too before I put it out there. Where I stop at 11. Beloved, I beg you as foreigners and pilgrims, see how Brother Kessler is talking, as foreigners. You know, what's a foreigner? A foreigner is somebody who is not in their homeland. So as foreigners in this land, and then you're just not a foreigner, you're a pilgrim, you're someone who is passing through this land. So how can we get comfortable if we are foreigners and pilgrims and we're supposed to be passing through this land, understanding what Abraham understood, that he is looking for a land who weren't with hands, who maker who didn't have hands. It wasn't built by man. That's where he was looking for, the heavenly promise that he understood. But as foreigners and pilgrims, those who are passing through, how are we getting comfortable? To abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. It wars against your own soul. This fleshly lust. And let's not be narrow-minded with this. Let's not be narrow-minded and think it's fleshly lust pointing back to only sex, only desires of sex and another, either man or woman. It does not point just to that. That's broad. Whatever you desire outside of Abba Yah, whatever you are desiring more than Abba Yah, whatever you desire. Rabbi Yaka El gave a perfect example of that last week. Because I too remember the story of Rabbi Gershon Ben Daniel telling me that he was getting so far into the martial arts that it was becoming spiritual, and Abba had to tell him to stop. Why? Because his flesh was desiring the martial arts. He was loving the martial arts just as much as he was loving Abba. So Abba said, hey, you got to stop that because that's interfering with what you're supposed to be doing for me. Brother Yaquiel said the same thing about how he was DJing. And I remember when he went out and bought all that DJ stuff in the basement. He was down there DJing. Abiyah said, you got to put that to the side. Because that's a fleshly lust. You're putting that on the level of me. Well, that is becoming your comfort zone. And that, the same thing with me. I remember every time that I get so engulfed in working out that some way, somehow, I always end up hurting myself. Because I get too engulfed of working out. So I would say, nope, you got to stop that. One way or another, I'll stop you. I'll stop you. You ain't going to stop on your own or pull back on your own. I know how to pull back for you. And matter of fact, we got to thank them for that. Because sometimes we don't know how to pull back. We don't know how to separate. So sometimes Abba, he got to separate for us. 12, having good behavior among the nations, so in that of which they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they see, glorify Yah in the day of visitation. In the day of visitation, family. You say having behavior among the nations. That means not only on the Shabbat that you have your good behavior, but when you're in your corners, when you over to the side with the ones that you kick it with at work, in front of them, you should be having good behavior. It should be a separation from their character and your character. No, and their character and our character. It should be a separation. It shouldn't be, oh, well, if things hit the fan and you got to go before the boss, oh, yeah, I know you like that because, you know, I heard a report about you. Yeah, you do that. But on the other hand, if something go down and it get to the boss says, oh, no, that's not him. I know him. I know her. I already know the character of them. And they already is stern in their belief. Not just at service, but everywhere they go, they already stern in their belief. They already going to put the character of Yahweh before them, period. You could have said anybody else. You could have said Sean Kelly, and I would have believed that about Sean Kelly. I would have believed that. But not that sister. No. Mm-mm. I know. No. And that's what he's talking about. Even the world will vouch for you when you're doing what Abba asks you to do on a consistent basis. On a consistent basis. Not just at service. Not just when we got on the Zeets or the Kufi. Or at all times, the character of Yahweh is supposed to show forth. And that's not easy. I'm not going to sit here and tell you you will be doing that 100% now. No. Now. But you will strive to do that. It said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. And that only means in perfect in what you know to do is right. What you know to do is right. Do that to the best of your ability. And we know and understand how Satan whispers and he eases in there. And he even gets in at times. But Yahushua say, pull that down. Pull that imagination down. Put him under subjection to me. And watch what I do to him. And watch he flee from you. Watch he flee from you. But we finish with that, family. Matter of fact, Marie Kefford 212 last time. Having good behavior among the nations. In other words, among the other races. Not just other races, among everybody that you come in contact with. In that of which they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they see glorify Yah in the day of visitation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we still got to get into this lesson, family, in which we already in it. But what we want to get into now is black codes, what we talked about. What we talked about last week, and I said, I'm going to look up the black codes because we do still want to understand the situation of our people. And this is from the Britannica.com if you want to look it up. And it's crazy because it's loading on me, right? But that's all right. It's all right. If you want to look it up, it's from the Britannica.com, and it is the black codes. They also have related topics, which is also called the slave codes, which we may get into another time, but I don't know right now if we're going to get into it tonight. We sure ain't going to get into it tonight. Black codes. In U.S. history, any of numerous laws enacted in the states of the former Confederacy after the American Civil War and intended to assure the continuance of white supremacy and enacted in 1865 and 1866. The laws were designed to replace the social controls of slavery that had been removed by the Emancipation Proclamation and the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. What we have to remember, family, is the number one enemy of us and the number one enemy of mankind is Hasatan. It's always Hasatan, Satan. The black codes, so when I read, don't just look at these men and what they enacted. Let your mind go back to when Pharaoh told the women, the Iblis women, the Hebrew women, to kill all the firstborn males. So go back to Herod, when Herod wanted to kill all the males under 2 years old. I mean, not just the firstborn, all the males under 2 years old. It has been, since the inception of Yisrael. Since the inception of Yisrael, a constantly war, especially on the men. A constant war on the men of Yisrael. Yahweh told us back that when he said he's going to war against Amalek from generation to generation. Since the inception of this nation, Yahweh said back in, maybe that was Shemot, Exodus, that he is going to war against Amalek from generation to generation. So don't let your mind stop at these mere men. Because this war has been waging on these people for thousands of years. So when you look out there today and know that these people have no clue that the war that has been waged on them for thousands of years. We ain't talking about the other nations because we already know he has the other nations. We're talking about a particular race. And even if anyone who wants to come and pick up the mantle of Yisrael, the war is on against you too. So don't stop with just these men when you hear this. The black codes had their roots in the slave codes that had formerly been in effect. The premise behind chattel slavery in America was that slaves were property, and as such, they had few or no legal rights. And you know what, family? That still goes on today. The slave codes in their many loosely defined forms were seen as effective tools against slave unrest, particularly as a hedge against uprising and runaways. Enforcement of slave codes also varied, but corporal punishment was widely and harshly employed. The Black Codes enacted immediately after the American Civil War, though varying from state to state, were all intended to secure a steady supply of cheap labor, and all continued to assume the inferiority of the freed slaves. There were vagrancy laws that declared a Black person to be vagrant if unemployed. Oh my goodness. Y'all hear that, family? You were considered vagrant if you were unemployed. Can we imagine if they enforced that law today? Can we imagine that? Just food for thought. And without permanent residence, a person so defined could be arrested, fined, and bound out for a term of labor and bond out for a term of labor if unable to pay the fine. Portions of vagrancy laws enacted by the state legislature of Mississippi in 1865 provided an example. Here's an example. Section 2. Be it further enacted that all free men, free Negroes, and mulattoes in the state over the age of 18 years found on the second Monday in January 1866 or thereafter with no lawful employment or business or found unlawfully assembling themselves together. Again, imagine if they enacted these laws today. Either in day or night, and all white persons so assembling with freed men, free Negroes, or mulattoes, or usually associated with freed men, free Negroes, or mulattoes, on terms of equality, or living in adultery or fornication with a free woman, free Negro or mulatto shall be deemed vagrant, and on conviction thereof shall be fined in the sum of not exceeding, in the case of a freedman, free Negro or mulatto, $150, and a white man, $200, and in prison at the direction of the court. The freed Negro not exceeding 10 days, and the white man not exceeding 6 months. And I thought that was interesting. I wonder why the white man bail was higher than the Black man, and the white man got more time than the Black man at this point right here in the Black court. So the thought came and the understanding came was, you know what? They wanted to discourage any white person for helping out any Black person. So if there was any good-hearted white people, they was being discouraged by jail, because if we looked into what we read earlier, it said a white person couldn't even be out there standing with Black people. You shouldn't be out there standing with Black people if they're out there congregating. You couldn't be talking to them about equal rights. So their time was more so to discourage any good-hearted white person to help us. Section B5, be it further enacted that all fines and for the fine collected under the provisions of this act shall be paid into the county treasury for general county purpose. And in case any freed man, free Negro, or mulatto shall fall for 5 days after the imprisonment of any fine or fortified upon him or her for violation of any of the provisions of this act to pay the same, that it shall be and is hereby made the duty of the sheriff of the proper county to hire out said freedmen free Negroes or mulattoes to any person who will, for the shortest period of service, paid said fine, or fortified in all costs. So what it's saying is, actually what it's saying is, if you don't have the money, the sheriff of that county can hire you out to anybody to pay off that cost. So you will still be a slave. Why? Because you're going to work for somebody for free. Think of the chain gang back in the early 20s and 30s when you used to see pictures or movies with our brothers on chained up in prison uniform working for free. And still, no different today. No different when the brother that's also in the halfway house and they get a job. And I remember my brother saying he was working and he may get 99 cents a day for working. And this is the 99 cents a day. And I was like, wow, I remember him telling me this last year because he had a what they would call, he was on work release. He was in prison. He was able to go out and work during the day. You see him all the time. You see him out cleaning the parks. These brothers and sisters only getting 99 cents a day and some probably less than that. So there's no difference in what this law took what back in 1865. Here we is in 2018. Still have the chain gangs. Still have the black codes enacted. In effect, I mean. That's finished. Apprentice laws provided for the hiring of orphans and other young dependents to whites, who often turned out to be their former owners. Some states limited the type of property African Americans could own. In other states, black people were excluded from certain businesses or from the skilled trades. Former slaves were forbidden to carry firearms or to testify in court, except in cases concerning other blacks. Legal marriage between African Americans was provided for, but interracial marriage was prohibited. It was Northern reaction to the Black Codes, as well as the bloody anti-riots in Memphis, Tennessee, and New Orleans, Louisiana, in 1866. So it says, see the New Orleans riots. If you want, you can go and read about the New Orleans riots that helped produce radical Reconstruction and the 14th and 15th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution. The Freedmen's Bureau was created in 1865 to help the former slaves. Reconstruction did away with the Black Codes, but after Reconstruction ended in 1877, many of their provisions were reenacted in the Jim Crow laws, which were not finally done away with until the passage of the Civil Rights Act in 1964. When you read that about the Black Codes, and you can take that and still bring it up to 2018, and the same thing is being done to our people. The exact same thing. But we're not looking at just mere men who's doing this. We're looking at Halal Hasatan, who has been orchestrating the downfall of these peoples since the inception of this nation. And we're going to get to why he is doing that, why he wants the downfall of this nation so bad. What does this nation have? We read it already. We are royalty. We are a set-apart people. We have something inside of us. We have something inside of us. But continuing on what Albert gave, we're going to get back into the scriptures. But if you want to go and read about the Black Codes and also read about the Jim Crow law, go back and study that history. Because I know a lot of times they taught us in school about the history of us as a people. But they didn't always tell us the truth. Matter of fact, 99.9% of the time, they did not tell us the truth about what happened. In fact, even today, I remember reading in Texas about Texas and about it on a radio show that there was a textbook that was given to a sixth grader, and in the sixth grader, it said that it didn't have us as slaves in it, but it had us as, I can't remember exactly what it was, what they had us as, but the textbook lied. It took away that we was in, that we were slaves, and it was like we was volunteers, something like that. Who in the world volunteered to be a slavery, especially the slavery that we endured in these part of the world, in this part of the world, the harshest slavery that any man have been under. Who would volunteer for that? Thankfully, the young kid brought it to attention to his mother, and his mother went up there and made and called the publishing company, and they got that taken out of there and got slaves put in there. So they're trying to remove a lot of this history. Because if they can remove the history, they can rewrite it. They can rewrite it, what is happening to us as a people. Well, a lot of us think we are African-Americans. Same thing that's going over in Africa. They want to rewrite the history. They want, and that Gershom Ben Daniel again, that prophet told us a lot. He told us a lot. Hallelujah. Rabbi just sent me involuntary immigrants. That's what they called us in the book. Involuntary immigrants. How in the world are we going to be involuntary immigrants? Then we can walk and left whenever we want. I volunteer for our Meals on Wheels. I take my clients. Matter of fact, I had to tell a lady, we don't work for y'all, we work for Emerge. If we don't show up, we don't show up. Y'all don't pay us, y'all don't give Emerge a check. This is something for the clients to do. So I can leave whenever I want. I ain't got to come in, I don't want to come in. But you talking about slavery. We was involuntary. I forgot what you just said. But we was voluntary? Involuntary immigrants. No. This was the harshest slavery that any man have endured. That's an insult. That's an insult to us. We was involuntary immigrants. That's an insult. But let us move on. Now we're going to Devarim 7. Devarim 7, that is Deuteronomy. And we're going to start at 1. And again, family, remember, we talk about restoration. Restoration of a people. And don't look outside. This lesson is not just for those who are outside, but those of us who are inside too. Just defects. That's the best way I can put it. When Yahweh, your problem is going from our double ring 6-1. When Yahweh, your power, brings you into the land where you go to possess it and casts out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. You know, that's what I had to sit back and I had to think, like, okay, Abba, the seven nations greater and mightier than you. You know, why is my mind, why is the spirit leading me to bring it up to date? And that's when I was thinking about what we talked about earlier. Excuse me, family, I'm plugging up my phone because it's trying to dial me, and I had these 85% of battery, but some way, somehow, I left, went to mess with my phone, but I got my battery right here. So, what was coming out earlier in the way that he was taking it. See, these seven nations, back then, Yahweh said that they are greater than you, that you're going to overcome them. So he said, bring something into it. Stay with what we were talking about from the text and what you started off talking about. So I said, okay, I'm going to bring it up today because you wanted to brought up today. So we're going to move from 7:1 to Proverbs. Starting at 6. Chapter 6, starting at verse 16. Remember, we talked about restoration of a people. And look what's in first, Israel. Look what's in. These are six things which Yahweh hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. So I said, oh, you mean to tell me those seven nations points to these things? And he was like, yep. Then another scripture came to mind is when he talked about it in the book of Reuben, where it was in the lost books, when the book of Reuben talks about these seven spirits that are attached to us. You know, because the only way we're able to fight and stay with that character and get rid of these character defects, and we got to know. We have to know what Abba expects of us and wants from us. So these are six things which Yahweh hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are swift and running to mischief, a false witness who utter lies, and he who sows discord among brothers. And that he and she who sows discords. It ain't just a he. When we read, we know we're talking about that man, Adam. And Adam comprised of him and Hawa, him and Eve. He called their name Adam. But these seven things that Abba want us to get rid of. The arrogance, the lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, you know, and maybe we ain't going out there killing nobody, but with our mouth, our tongue, we killing them, their character, our mouth is doing that. We laying our mouth on, we may not lay hands on people, but our mouths are being laid on people. Our character, we're talking about people behind their backs. And we slaying innocent blood. Lying. Running, devising wicked schemes, feet that are swift and running to mischief. These characters, these are characteristics that should not be of a believer. Oh, something going on now. Should you hear that? Boom. We should be running the opposite way. We should be running the opposite. I swear, when I was taking McKenzie up one day from school and they were shooting, people running towards the gunshots. And I'm thinking, like, what idiot want to run towards gunshots? Because we want to see. We want to see what happened. Did somebody get their brains blown out or something? Did somebody get shot? I'm not running towards no gunshots. We don't supposed to run towards mischief as believers. It ain't just gunshots. It's any mischief. We don't want to hear what this brother or sister got to say about that brother or sister. No, brother, you out of order. No, sister, you out of order. These character defects. We're supposed to be destroying the character of Yahushua. Remember? That's our mark. Getting rid of this lust.
I'll go back to Deborah Ring family. Deborah Ring 7. Down there, verse 2.
Matter of fact, I'm going to read verse 1 again. When Yahweh your power brings you into the land where you go to possess it and cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Gergesites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. We also can look at when he brings you into that land, when he brings you into the understanding of who you are. Now, once you come into the understanding of who you are, then you're supposed to get rid of these nations, these unclean spirits, these character defects that hinder you in your walk, in our walk. We're supposed to be getting rid of these things 30, 10, 5, 1 years into this walk. And we're still destroying the same characteristics. Double ring, too. And when Yahweh, your power, delivers them up before you, and you strike them down, strike them, you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Sometimes we read this word, and we have these non-believers who want to read, these scorners who want to read these words, and we think, and they, in their mindset, he's too harsh of a God. That's where, the old saying comes from. The God of the Old Testament, he's a cruel God. He's a harsh God. He didn't play. He wanted to kill babies. He wanted to destroy. Like, he didn't want nothing because he understands. It ain't that he's harsh. That's love for his people. That's love for his people. You take your own children and what you ask your children to do, the boundaries that you put around your kids. Don't go down there. You know, because every time you go down there, there's some old man, he's looking, he's laying. No, I don't want that. I know that there's a pervert that lives at the end of this block. I even saw on the internet where though we have a child molester because they got the register. So it's a child molester that lives at the end of the block. So no, don't go down there. I don't care. He's speaking to you, you keep on going. You don't stop. You don't have no conversation with him. You don't have no dealings with him. Because he means you no good. As a parent, you know that. You have that information. You have that knowledge. So no different. Abba has the foreknowledge of these people and what they can do to your relationship with him. Which one is more important, your relationship with Abba or your relationship with the world? That's it right there, friend. Which one is more important, the relationship with Abba or your relationship with the world? Because if he's asking us to do something, then we ought to do it. You should not make marriages with them. You should not give your daughters to your son, to his son, nor you take his daughter for your son, for he will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So Yahweh's anger would be kindled against you, and he would destroy you. Now, I mean, you know, and we know, understand about our old brother Shlomo, and we ain't talking about John Solomon either. We talking about one of the Meleks, the kings of Israel, what happened to him dealing with these foreign women. One of the wisest men to ever live. What happened, though, to this brother? Yahweh told you. Yahweh knew, though. What he's saying? For he will turn away your son from following me. He will turn away. Because you know and understand. We know that Solomon was dealing with the women, but the women had other gods. And where did these other gods come from? Their nations, their people. And 9 times out of 10, Solomon just ain't married no any old woman. He married royalty, queens. He married princesses who's coming out of their father's houses. He didn't marry no any old woman. That's what he was getting. We know, we understand. when they want to merge two kingdoms, they take the prince of this king, the prince of that kingdom, and they marry them. When they want to build alliances. Five. But you shall deal with them like this. You shall break down their altars, dash their pillars in pieces, cast down their Asherah poles, and burn their engraved images with fire. I should have looked this up for y'all, but next week I will have this. And if you go and look at a picture of an Asherah pole, and if you look and find out what the women was doing around these Asherah poles, they were big wooden poles, which was their god. And women would dance provocative around these poles. Does that sound familiar? There's nothing new under the sun, family. Well, we talked about that earlier, that how through the music industry, being a stripper is an honorable profession now. Now, understanding that these women are actually dancing for, matter of fact, they got pole classes. It's called an exercise now. When there is an exercise class that's called pole exposure or something, I don't know. Pole classes now. You can go and learn how to dance on a pole. But it comes from right here in Double Ring. The asterisk poles, that's where it comes from. Nothing new under the sun, fam. Satan just recycling. That's all. You know what? They fell for it then. They have no knowledge. They're going to fall for it again. They ain't got no filter. I'm gonna keep recycling over and over on them. That's all he's doing is keep recycling. Yahweh say burn them, though, with fire. We don't literally burn them with fire today, but we burn them with that word, which is fire. You ain't going to literally burn them today, but that word, that fire, that's supposed to be shut up in your bones, you burn them with that. Thus saith Yahweh. For you a holy people, he said, tell us again. For you are an holy people to Yahweh, your power. Yahweh, your power, has chosen you to be a people for his own possession above all people who are on the face of the earth. See, again, I said earlier, I said that we are above every people, not because what comes out of my mouth, but what comes out of the mouth of Yahweh. Yahweh said it. Yahweh said that you are above all the peoples on the face of the earth. On the face of the earth. He has put us in debt. But here's where the story and the thought have to change. Because it goes back to restoring the people. From here. Here's where the story is now. Who has to get involved? Who has to keep them from becoming a nation? Who has to blot out the name of Yisrael? And what does he have to do to blot out the name of Yisrael? If he knows that this group of people is above all peoples on the face of the planet, we are the only ones with the melech of the Creator. There is the Creator of all things, even his Creator. What he must do. And not only that, let me continue reading about what Yahweh said about us. Six, for you are an holy people to Yahweh, your power. Yahweh, your power, has chosen you to be a people for his own possession above all peoples who are on the face of the earth. Yahweh didn't set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. You were the fewest of all people. But here's the thing that a lot of us, when we read this, we move right on over. Yahweh didn't set his love on you, nor choose you. We go right to we was a few people. But do you know and understand that the Creator of heaven and earth set his love, set his desire on you? and chose you. He said his love. Nobody who's ever or has been woken should never feel unloved. And family, that's personal right there. That's personal. That's for me. Because I felt that way just today. I was feeling that. But you know what? Maybe this way, y'all ain't want me to go this way. Maybe I'm the one that he wanted to hear. But I know it's not just for me, because his word is for everyone. But he just showed me that. Because today when I was praying, I told him that. But what he just showed me, that if you are called out, you should never feel not loved. You should never have a void of feeling of voidness inside of you that nobody loves you, nobody cares for you, because the creator of the heaven and earth has set his love on you. And what better love can you get than Yahweh loving you? There's nothing in this place, in this earth, that can compare to that. But we're physical, and we want this physical thing. So Yahweh said, I got to bring you up and out of Mizraim from our minds. Still back in Mizraim. Still back in Egypt. Because we get like that, we get like that. I got like that. But he just showed me, we read right past and we go to the sewers. But he said, let me read it. Yahweh didn't set his love on you, nor choose you. That means Yahweh set his love on, Yahweh chose you. So we should never feel not loved. Never. We get that feeling, we got to get rid of it. We got to go in this word. So we can go to the scripture and know and understand that Yahweh set his love on you. And what is love? Abba Yah. That's love. What is a habo? Abba Yah. But because you were more number than any person, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. But because Yahweh loves you, and because he desires to keep which he swore to your fathers, Yahweh has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim. Let's read and understand. Let's understand as we read. What is this house of bondage? Who is the king? Who is Pharaoh? What is Mitzrayim? What is this bondage that Yahweh have brought you up and out of? Who is this king that Yahweh has took you out of his hand? And what is this Mizraim? What is this Egypt that Yahweh have separated you from? We know. We understand that what the scripture says, Romans 7:14, for the law is spiritual. So we bringing it up to date. What is bondage? This bondage is this sin that Yahweh is freeing us from. He is separating us. He is freeing us from this bondage. Pharaoh, Hasatan, Satan, he has took us out in his hands. He has freed us from the grip that he had on us. Now we rule him. Now we over top of him. Now he fear us. He has separated us from this world system. Mizraim, this world system. Egypt, this world system. He has separated us from them. But again, we holding on to this world system. Keep ourselves in bondage. We shouldn't be in bondage to nothing but the word of Yahweh. And that don't bond you. That frees you. That frees you. We put ourselves in bondage. We connect ourselves to this world. We give him power over us. Let's move on, family. We're going down to 16. Know therefore that Yahweh, your power himself, is Elohim, the faithful Elohim who keeps covenant and loving kindness with them who love him and keep his commandments to the thousands, to a thousand generations. To a thousand generations. No matter how long we're going to be on this planet, if Yahweh said that this is the covenant I set between me and you, he's going to keep his side. He's going to keep his end of the bargain. Let us do the same. Let us keep our end of the bargain too. Separation from this world. And repays those who hate him to their face. To destroy them, he will not be slack to them who hate him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore keep the commandments, the statutes, and the ordinance which I command you today to do them. It shall happen because you listen to these ordinances and keep and do them, that Yahweh your power will keep with you the covenant and the loving kindness with which he has sworn to your fathers. He will love you again. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your body and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your livestock, the young of your flock, in the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. You will be blessed above all peoples. There won't be male or female burn among you or among your livestock. Yahweh will take away from you all sickness, and he will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which you know, on you, but he will lay them on those who hate you. You shall consume all the peoples whom Yahweh, your power, shall deliver to you. Your eyes shall not pity them. You shall not serve their powers, their gods, for that would be a snare to you. That will be a snare. They will capture you. In other words, that's going to be the thing that captures you. But we got to remember, you may not say you serve their mighty ones. You may not literally come out your mouth and say that. But whatever Hasatan got, Satan has, he's studying you. So whatever ails you, whatever can keep you in bondage, that's what he's going to use. And you're about saying, oh, I'm going to go ahead and worship JC or Muhammad. No, whatever he can keep you in bondage with. It could be your own character defect. It could be your own anger, your own sense of reasoning. Whatever that snare is, Hallel knows, Satan knows. Guarantee he knows it. And guarantee that's where he's going to push the hardest, especially coming up in these last couple of months and these months that's ahead of us, because we know, I understand that our holy days are coming. Things happen on the high holy days. Things happen on the high holy days. So whatever it is, Hallel knows that. Knows that. And let us move on, family. We got two more scriptures, and we out of here. Talking about the restoration of Yisrael. The restoration of Yisrael. And we're moving on to 2 Timothy. Three. One through four, family. 3:1-4. Because again, all what Abba proclaimed about us and what we are. Hasatan knows. Satan knows. So in order for him, you know, matter of fact, I'm jumping again. I'm going to go to Psalms first. We're going to read that last. Next, after this, we're going to read 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4. And that, but we're going to Psalms 83 and skip it. 1 through 4. We got to read this before we go there. We got to read this. Yeah, don't keep silent. Don't keep silent and don't be still, Yah. For Yah, for behold, your enemies are stirred up. Those who hate you have lifted up their heads. They conspire with cunning against your people. They plot against your cherished ones. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. That the name of Israel, that the character, that the reputation of Israel be remembered no more. That's his goal. That is the enemies of Yah, the enemies of Israel. That is their goal. That is their bottom line. So the name of Israel, the character, the reputation of Israel can be no more, will not be seen in this earth. But remember what Brother Kepha said, let your behavior good among the nations. Let the character of Israel, let the reputation of Israel be good among the nations. So this one, today, I understand why. Now we move into 2 Timothy, because Yah going to tell us what's going to happen in these last days. We don't understand that Hillel wants it to go like this, but Yah already telling us what's going to happen in these last days. I wish I should have read the other one, where he said, believers, and I believe that was in 1 Timothy, where believers are going to fall away. But we read in Israel, 2 Timothy 1 through 4. But know this, that in the last days, grievous times will come. Hard times is coming, family. They have been for some already, but hard times are coming. Do we know and understand that we are in the last days? So understand that hard times are coming. Yahweh is telling us hard times are coming. Grievous times are coming. Uncomfortable times are coming. So men will be lovers of self. You know what Brother Yaquiel shared a story with me that he was meditating last week on this very scripture. So men will be lovers of self. And what he said where the Creator took his mind is selfies. Everybody in the world takes selfies. Everybody wants to be seen. Everybody wants to be seen. You'd be like, what is the purpose of a selfie? And some people take so many selfies, like, what, you don't know what you look like? You got to take that many selfies every day, all day. You don't know what you look like? You forgot what you look like. I understand you're going to take all, you're going blind. Your memory is not that good, so you want to take all these selfies so you can remember what you look like. No, that's not it. For men will be lovers of self. That's what that is. And that's what we see in this world system. Men loving themselves. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Unthankful and unholy. If they unholy, then we already know what nation they ain't a part of. Because he said we are a holy nation. And if they unthankful, unholy, we know they ain't a part of Israel. Without natural affection, I mean, that right there, we got these characteristics that's opposite of what a believer is supposed to be. They are opposite of what a believer. Now, there shouldn't be no believer without natural affection, without not having a love and a sympathy and apathy for people. Unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, fierce, not lovers of good. These are the opposite characteristics of a believer. Traitors, headstrong, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Yah. And that's it. Lovers of pleasure. What was the old saying, Aleister Crowley came up with? Do what thou wilt. YOLO, you only live once. Make yourself happy. Whatever it takes, make yourself happy. No, that's the opposite of what the characteristics or a reputation of an Ibrit, a Yisraeli, a believer. One more scripture, family, and that's it. That's it. Now, I understand why Abba took us this route, because we restoring. We still carrying bad characteristics within ourselves. And we got to keep fighting, keep coming out of her, keep coming out of this beast system. And that is Yeshayahu 62, verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen on your walls, Yerushalayim. They will never be silent, day nor night. You who call on Yahweh, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes and until he makes Yerushalayim a praise in the earth. And I like how I would say, you who called on him, take no rest and give him no rest. Give him, that means pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That's just another way that Abba said it to us. Another way he said it to us. Pray without ceasing. That he wants to bring us. Yisrael. But we got to get rid of these character defects. We got to look within ourselves. And we have to grow within Abba. We got to separate. We got to get away from not allowing ourselves to go back into bondage, because Yahweh said, I brought you up and out of that. I brought you out of that, Mitzrayim. I brought you out of bondage. I took you out of Pharaoh's hand. I did that for you. Sometimes we want to give Pharaoh the charge over our lives again, being out of the character of what Yahweh gives us, what Yahweh expects of us. We know and understand it, that it's a process. But if you know there's a process, that's half the battle. If you know that I need to work on me, that's half the battle. And not looking out through the world and trying to change the world, and you inside is messed up. Change you inside. Yahushua said, clean the inside of the cup first. Then the outside of the cup will be clean. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Torah Aviyah, once again for bringing your word to Yisrael, Father, for feeding your people. I want to thank you again for all those who are listening. I want to ask again that your word go and plant deep down, Father, deep down. It may be a root that's deep down within us, Father. And only you know how to get down and pull that weed up out of us, Father. So we ask that your word do that, Father. May your word drill down and separate that weed from us, Father. That character defect. Father, we ask that for all the Morays that's bringing out the word tomorrow, Father, that you do the same thing, Father, that you speak to them as a mighty thunder, Father, so that word again can go down and get rid of those dead roots. Get rid of them. Get them roots up out of us, Father. Because we want to be right, Father. And the only way we can be right is with your help. Because you're constantly reminding us who we are. We are a royal people. We are chosen. Thank you, Abba. May the blessing of the Shabbat be on all who take refuge in it. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family.